Two Out of Bounds. William Quag of us, Kelly Graham. Like, I want to publicly apologize to you, Kelly, because during that I blacked out and my screen had this is a WFH problem if ever there was one. My screen freezes here. I've totally blacked out and I don't even realize that my clock hasn't moved, so I had no idea.
You're
I
out
just
of
thought
control.
I had 2 minutes left still.
You're out of control.
So I'm really sorry about that. I don't like that I feel that way. I don't like that this is all a manipulation by the Big Ten and that they've been manipulating this entire weekend.
And but, all that caused you to black out?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you. That's something I would block you for sharing on Facebook. But I've done it. A guy who works totally outside the realm of conspiracy theories, who's just reporting facts, people. Matt Connelly from The State. Follow him on Twitter, @MattAtTheState. He joins us right now. He looked into the Darian Rencher, Trevor Lawrence, West Coast Alliance. The National Alliance and the call for a Players Association of sorts. So we'll get some info from him on that. Wrote an excellent piece for The State this morning on that. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Qual, get it together, man. Let's go.
I know.
Tell him, Matt.
It's ridiculous. I'm so unprofessional.
Matt,
absolute nonsense.
I saw some stuff on the IG. Did you sleep at all last night?
Oh, no, not really. I stayed up.
Tell us what happened. Just walk us through how you saw all the news unfolding and then kind of the life of a sports writer, because you started writing your story and reaching out to people at that point. So what has your last, 12 hours been like?
Okay, so I fell asleep around 10 or so. I went and laid down with my daughter last night and fell asleep and woke up at like 1 and had a few text messages about like, hey, have you seen what's going on Twitter? And the players are joining together and the, you know, we want to play hashtag and all that kind of stuff. And so I got on Twitter and started looking, and I saw some tweets from Darian Rencher and Trevor and a few other guys, and some ones from some West Coast guys as well, kind of talking about their process a little bit and how it came together. And so I reached out to a few guys on Twitter who I'm pretty sure were asleep because it was like 2 a.m. here, reached out to a guy from Michigan and then a guy from Stanford as well, who were part of the phone call just to try to see if any of them were by any chance awake and would be willing to give me some information. And so I actually got in touch with a Stanford defensive lineman who Trevor and Darian originally had reached out to. And so just talked to him and kind of got an idea of the process and got to work. So, yeah, it was a crazy few hours, but kind of the way 2020 has gone pretty much.
Now, Matt, it's interesting. You did all this work in a matter of hours, and it spanned the whole night. One of the main questions I have is the Pac-12. We parsed the Pac-12. We spent all last Monday parsing the 20 or so points that the Pac-12 was making that the players wanted, and we said that really the most palatable pieces were the immediate, the insurance and the COVID precautions and all that kind of stuff. And the Big Ten seemed to adopt all that and sort of leave the monetary stuff on the table. How did they come to an agreement on sort of the 5 points that more have to do with player representation broadly in college athletics and the COVID stuff in the moment, and get that Pac-12, the sort of unity group, to leave the monetary stuff on the table?
Sure. So I think when this first happened and Trevor Lawrence first started tweeting yesterday, you know, we want to play and some of that kind of stuff, I think a lot of people thought that he was kind of going against what the Pac-12 was saying and what the Big Ten had been saying and trying to pit those two against each other. And so, you know, that was one thing. Dylan Bowles, the guy that I talked with that kind of was a Pac-12 representative, told me is like, you know, they reached out and they just wanted to make sure that we knew that you know, they had our, meaning Darian and Trevor, that they had our back. They agreed with several of our points and you know, we weren't trying to pit each other against each other or anything. And let's try to work through this and try to come up with something that we can all agree on. So, yeah, you know, I think it started with Darian reaching out to Bowles, and then Trevor joined in on the FaceTime, and then you know, they kind of got involved with people from all over the country, really, from Alabama, Oklahoma State, Washington State, Oregon, all over, and kind of came up with those points together that they all felt are important. And You know, the Players Association thing, I think maybe can go end up going back to some of the money things that the Pac-12 originally brought up, and it'll be interesting to kind of see how that moves forward over the coming months. But I think the immediate thing right now is just the COVID and health and that kind of stuff.
When Trevor said that he did not necessarily agree with everything on the Pac-12's list, I see his quote in your story where he's talking about how the most important thing from his perspective right now is the safety aspect with COVID, of course. But did he specify any other, was it mainly just the revenue piece? I mean, did you get any specifics there on what he didn't necessarily agree with the Pac-12?
No, he didn't really specify at the time. He just said that there were a lot of things he agreed with and some that he didn't necessarily agree with. So that's something maybe the next time we get to talk to him, we can kind of clarify and bring up. But, yeah, I mean, that was interesting, too. I thought that he kind of said that, you know, there were parts he did agree with, parts he didn't agree with. He also made it clear that he respected their opinions and their rights to you know, say and ask for what they wanted to. And so, yeah, I think they all did a good job of coming together and trying to figure out the best options for everyone throughout the country. And so and we'll see, hopefully, at least a football season, at least in some conferences in 2020.
Visiting with Matt Conley at Matt at the Stay. We appreciate him joining us here on Out of Bounds on a Monday afternoon. It's interesting when the sort of fifth and final bullet point, when you get down to the fifth one, and it starts talking about a players association or some sort of a players union, Matt. Do you get any sense of what that would look like? Is it just basically a way to frame a seat at the table? Are they looking for some sort of like leadership from somebody? I mean, is there any sense of what that might look like based on the very early conversations that the players are having about this?
Yeah, I think it starts with just a seat at the table, just having a player representative or representatives, a group that can, when important decisions are made, say, hey, we want people to speak on our behalf, and this is how we feel. You know, kind of like the NFL has, the Major League Baseball has, where you have representatives kind of speaking with leadership and, you know, ADs, presidents, commissioners, that kind of thing, and having their voices heard too. So I think that's part of it. I think probably some of the name, image, and likeness stuff gets brought into that as well, as far as what athletes can profit off of and you know, what you can get endorsement deals for. So I think it's pretty open-ended right now with all it can entail. And I think that'll kind of be decided moving forward, but I think those are a few of the things for sure that they're kind of interested to see happen.
Matt, is it pretty safe to say at this point, at least right now, and maybe we already knew this, but Trevor Lawrence is the face of college football, right? And do you think that he understands that? And do you think he understands how valuable and powerful his voice is right now?
I think he does, yeah. And I think, you know, when you see him tweet and you go and look at the interactions and just how nuts it all goes on Twitter, I think that he knows that when he speaks, people pay attention. He's using his platform. You know, he's used it to fight racial injustice, and now he's using it to try to push for there to be a football season this year. So I think he definitely understands it. And this is something, Kelly, we talked about, I think the last time I was on with you guys, but Darren Richer as well, just being a guy that, you know, isn't as big of a name, doesn't have as big a stats or as much prominence or anything like that. But he's a guy that just continues to make things happen and go out and have his voice heard as well. And, you know, reach out to players and get everyone together and try to push forward too. So he was a big part of this that you know, I think maybe isn't getting some credit, but he definitely deserves some credit as well for his role.
Matt, I want to get your opinion on something, because something that Kelly and I don't know that we've actually talked about it on air yet today, but we certainly talked about it off air as we're preparing for the show. It's a little bit frustrating where when the players say things that people agree with, they say, oh, we should give these players everything they ask for. And I compared it to a genie with three. We should just give them three wishes like we're a genie. We should just give them everything they ask for. And then when it's something that we don't necessarily agree with, we tell them to go shut up. You don't know anything. You're just a kid. You don't understand how this works. What is your thought on the conversation that's been going on around these things and some of the maybe double standards of the way people have treated one group asking for certain things and one group asking for another, and how maybe this unity group can maybe change that discussion a little bit?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you can't have it both ways, right? So if,
yes,
you know, you're going to listen to when they speak about some things, you need to listen when they speak about other things as well. You know, I think Scott Satterfield, Louisville's coach, had a really good media briefing this morning, where he just spoke about, you know, we've been asking these players to do all of these things in order to have football. We've been asking them to social distance. We've been asking them to come and work out, and they came back to campus in June, and we're doing all these things to try to push forward for a season. And, you know, we made plans and got ready for it. And now we're just canceling the plan without really ever even giving it a chance. So, you know, I think that's kind of my thought on it, is like, you know, why even push forward with everything that you did up until this point if you really were never going to give it a chance anyway? So I think that's kind of the thought of some players. And as Trevor said, and as the players said in their statement last night, you know, if you don't want to play, that's 100% your right. You'll keep your scholarship. You'll still be able to use the facility and do all those things. And you just opt out of the season. And you know, that's something Dabo said. He told the players back in June, is anyone who doesn't want to be here, whether it be player or staff or anyone associated with the program, doesn't have to be, and you won't be thought any less of. It's your decision, and you know, it's your health, and you know, it's your choice to do what you want to do. So I think, you know, players that want to play, if they feel strongly about it and feel like they can do it safely, I don't see why not. And for those that don't want to, just make sure that they continue to get their scholarship and are still a part of the team and can do everything that they want to as well. But those are kind of my thoughts on where things are right now, just big picture.
Matt, any news, have you heard any news as it pertains to Clemson on the plans for fall camp? Are we continuing as scheduled? I mean, what do you know about that right now?
Yeah, I've been checking all that this morning, Tom, and it sounds like for now things are going to keep going on as planned. It doesn't sound like there's any plan to cancel practice or anything like that. I think we've seen some reports from the SEC and the ACC as well, with Scott Satterfield saying that just because one conference decides they're not going to play doesn't mean we all have to stop. He kind of said, let's give it a shot and kind of see where it goes. So from what I understand, as of right now, and obviously it's a very fluid situation, but as of right now, it seems like the ACC is going to try to keep moving forward and see where things go.
What do you make of, I guess, the impact of these student requests? And I'm going to call them student requests because that's basically what in the eye of the hearer, if they're speaking to presidents, that's how they're going to see them. They're going to see them as student athletes just in the way that they talk about them. Do you think that is enough to move the needle? Or are there other things that are going to have to swing this thing back from yesterday? It looked like there may not be a season, and now maybe it looks like there's going to be a partial season or some sort of a season in some leagues, but maybe not all of them. I mean, is it fair to say that this movement by these players has swung the needle, or is it more complicated than that?
I think it's more complicated than that. I mean, I think it's a start in the right direction. I think that, and I'm hopeful that, you know, some of the top players in college football saying, hey, we want to go play, and you know, this is what we feel like is the best thing for us. I'm hopeful that that will maybe move the needle some and start moving things in the right direction. But I still think, you know, I think overall the presidents and ADs are going to listen to what they have to say, but they're also going to just, you know, do their plan and do what they think is right. So I think it's at least a start in the right direction. And, I'm hopeful that we can find a way to at least have part of a season or at least get started and see how it goes. That's another thing too, is just like, if you're going to have students on campus and you're going to have them going to classes and doing all these things, why can't they go play football? That's some of my thought as well. So I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to testing, as far as like, do you have the test to continue to know, and can you get the results back in time that you can quickly isolate someone if they do test positive? I think that's going to be a big part of it, but I don't know. I'm hopeful, and I think this is probably a step in the right direction, but I ultimately don't know that it's going to be the difference maker.
Really interesting. Really interesting stuff. Matt Connelly from the State, we appreciate it. Great piece this morning. Really appreciate your due diligence at like 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. trying to make this thing work this morning. We really appreciate that. And follow Matt on Twitter, at Matt of the State. He's a great follow during these unprecedented times. And I'll tell you what, get yourself a subscription to the State because you'll be glad you did that. Thanks, brother. Appreciate all the hard work. We'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, Qualt. Sounds good. Thank you all for having me.
Thanks very much. You too. Matt Connelly. Look, it was a great piece. Super piece. Let's get to one more phone call before we hit our next break. Delvin is up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Delvin?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
a couple of things. Kevin Warren would have put in the spring. Think about it. Is he gonna have any teams in the spring? Because you know all the big time superstars are gonna opt out in the spring. Because you know you got the NFL, you gonna have the draft. Then you gotta have another regular season of college football after that. See, he ain't thought about that. You gotta have another regular season after that. You think all these players gonna wanna play all the way through the playoffs and stuff like that? They gonna wanna play and then gonna have to play college football again or go to the NFL after that? No, they gonna opt out early. You ain't gonna have that many teams. Players, especially the Big Ten, some of your big time superstars like Justin Fields transfer. And you gonna tell me that you ain't gonna have Justin Fields play? You gonna have a team? You don't think all the big, especially Ohio State fans, gonna get upset about that tonight? You the commissioner wanting to move the spring? We know that's our biggest star. But this one, I'm hoping to make Ohio State fan really mad at them. They say the ACC, the SEC, and the Big Ten, Big 12 still play, and the Big Ten don't. Justin Fields transfer to a school, to an ACC or SEC school and plays and win a national championship, like win a Heisman somewhere like that, and Ohio State be mad at Kevin Warren.
You know, it's interesting, Delvin. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. That's an interesting question, interesting thought. I'm not sure that the time frame is conducive to that. I mean, you're talking 6 weeks before a season would potentially start in these other leagues. I'm just not sure it's feasible to say, if the Big Ten cancels football, then Justin Fields is going to transfer to Auburn or somewhere. Like, I just don't think that's true. Kelly, what do you think? I don't think that's a doable thing.
There are a few programs that I think will play football at almost all costs, and one of those is Ohio State. So I'm not really sure that it applies to someone like Justin Fields.
And listen,
I don't think you can transfer. I mean, we're running out of time here. That's kind of the whole point of all of this. We're running out of time.
All right. Taraja Mitchell, who is, have you seen this?
Twitter is insane right now.
He's a player at Ohio State. He said, and I'm just gonna tell you the news here. I'm not gonna break this down. He says, can we go play in the SEC then at 11:53 AM?
But he's talking, well, I would assume he's talking about the Ohio State playing in the SEC.
Yes. Okay. That's just the ramblings of the player, right?
Himself playing in
Correct.
The SEC.
However, at 12:51 PM, he got a quote tweet. I'm in. Dial it up. It's from Brian Hartline, the wide receiver coach at Ohio State.
Whoa.
Former Ohio State receiver says, I'm in, dial it up. Let's go to the SEC so we can play. If the Big Ten actually does this and cancels, I'm telling you right now, there will be hell to pay from Ohio State, from Michigan, and probably from some other athletic departments, and maybe from some presidents about rethinking their affiliation, particularly if the ACC, SEC, and Big 12, Pac-12 really doesn't matter in this, in any consequential manner. If they figure out a way to play and the Big 10 can't make it happen, and the Big 10, which I still think the Big 10 is trying to get everybody to postpone so that everybody gets the playoff revenue. I really think this is a Big 10 being like, we want to play the spring, but we want to keep that playoff revenue. Woo! I'm telling you, there will be hell to pay. If Ohio State's got coaches who are saying, let's go to the SEC, this is madness. We're in a maddening situation.
Ohio State, if other schools are playing, if at least one other school in the country is playing, Ohio State will play.
I think they will
ditch the Big Ten without even thinking twice.
I tend to agree. Stay with us. More to come on the Bounds. We're going to go back to the phones in just a moment.
Craft Stove Store and Patio. Your new look, it's all right here, you know.
The same furniture you've seen that's so nice. You find it here at the right price.
What value you can do, a brand new patio for you. Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Clemson is all about traditions, and one of the very best is the Tiger Sports Shop. Tiger Sports Shop was founded in 1974 by legendary coach Dr. I.M. Ibrahim, who started the national championship winning men's soccer program at Clemson. So they love Clemson and don't sell any other college apparel. They continue to be locally owned and operated and carry their own Tiger Sports Shop collection branded merchandise, which is quality apparel at a reasonable price. Visit them downtown Clemson and 1102 Tiger Boulevard or at tigersports.com.
Every Thursday night, we do it right. It starts at 7 o'clock. The streets will be blocked at 5. We'll start setting up then. Then at 7 o'clock, we get started with a little jazz on the alley. These are just some of the artists you're going to hear right here, live and in person. You need to come on down, bring all of your friends, and of course, you've got guests in town. Treat them for a little night of jazz on the alley. 7 till 9, right here on the Ramcat Alley in downtown Seneca. It's a springtime and summer tradition. It's Jazz on the Alley, downtown Seneca, every Thursday night, 7 till 9. So grab your friends and come on down. We get started with live outside music and outside dining. It's fun for the whole family. It's absolutely free, and you need to be here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
Cox Builders in Williamston is the full-service general contractor you've been looking for. That's right. They cover it all. Commercial, residential, and agricultural. Located in the heart of the upstate, Cox Builders is with you throughout the entire build process. Utility buildings, pole barns, garages, custom homes, even commercial structures like restaurants, storage facilities, and strip malls. Call Sherry today to get a quote on your next project at 864-847-9009 and visit them online at coxbuildersgroup.com.
Looking to purchase or refinance your home? Look no further. First Home Equity Loans in Greenville is veteran-owned and locally operated in business for 23 years. Named Best Mortgage Company in the Upstate, offering free mortgage analysis to customize loans to each individual. Competitive rates and first-class service. Call First Home Equity Loans today at 864-438-4550. 864-438-4550. Or visit them online at ourmortgageloan.com. That's OURmortgageLoan.com.
The time has come for you to get your new South Carolina driver's license or ID. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about Real ID and what you need to buy your new license today. You may even be eligible to buy your new Real ID online and avoid an SCDMV branch altogether. Gather all required documents now and buy your Real ID with Gold Star at any SCDMV office in the state. Make sure your ID will get you on an airplane or into a federal building before it's too late. Visit scdmvonline.com and make the switch today.
You won't find another show like Road Rage. Walt Deptula, 3 to 7 weekdays on The Roar.
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit beside him in Lou Hayes. A pink dress, a matching bow, and her ponytail. Me on a school bus, but told me not to tell.
Well, we've reached that point in this saga where the president has weighed in. And whether you like that or you hate that, it is a fact.
I felt like it was kind of inevitable.
It is a thing that has happened where Donald Trump has tweeted now, the student athletes have been working too hard for their season to be canceled. Hashtag, we want to play.
Well, and he quote-tweeted Trevor. I think that's a very important part of
this. I mean, you know.
He quote-tweeted Trevor Lawrence.
No matter what you think about the guy, it's kind of cool when the president quote-tweets you. I would think. I mean, unless you say something crazy. Then it might be bad, but I don't think anybody thinks Trevor said anything crazy. Kelly, this is absolute madness. I don't know what to do except go to the phones. 654-ROAR is the number. Daniel is up with us next on the Northern Communication Phone Lines here in this segment of Hour 2. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, what's up, Quark? How you doing all right today?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. I'm just on a road trip from Greenville to Alabama, and I just had some things on my mind. I just had to call in and weigh in on them.
Daniel, all right. It's that those long drives. They can give you the clarity. So I'm with you on that, Daniel. Go ahead.
All day. But, I mean, just a couple things. I mean, I agree with Delvin completely. You know, a month ago, I was sitting there thinking, you know, spring football doesn't sound too bad. You know, we just push everything back. We'll have college baseball, football going on at the same time. But, I mean, from a logistics standpoint, I just don't see how you play a season and then turn around. I mean, these kids that were going to the NFL would literally, you know, basically have to redshirt an NFL season. And, you know, they can't play back-to-back seasons like that. I just don't see how that would work.
I mean, to me, I think that's the resistance of the whole thing. That's where I've said for a long time, and I'm not even sure I've said it that much here, but it feels like that's an idea that somebody in academia came up with because they just think sports are on just a calendar that pertains to them, as opposed to looking at college sports as a springboard to the pros for some people. Because there really is no way to play a season in the spring and then fast forward into the fall. You couple that with, if you got enough, like, think about the teams that lose routinely 6 or 8 or 10 underclassmen, juniors, to the NFL draft. You're essentially playing 10 players down if you move to the spring. Not only does it hurt the players if you were to ask them to play, but if they don't play, it hurts you. It hurts your product on the field. And couple that with, we don't know what the virus is going to look like. We don't know that the spring's going to be any better. I love Daniel Shirley said this on Twitter yesterday. He said, 6 months ago, we canceled everything thinking it was going to be better in 6 months. And we're 6 months later, and it's not really that much better. And so I don't know why people think it's going to be better 6 months from now, surely enough, that we're just going to postpone things that we were supposed to do now, and we're going to smash everything together and do it all in a three-month period from February to May or something.
Right, you keep postponing the inevitable. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, just ignore the virus, but at some point you got to learn to live life with it. But anyway, on to my second point, I was thinking about, you know, if the Big Ten decides to, you know, cancel their season and go rogue and whatnot, is it, my question is, and probably nobody knows the answer to this, but my question is, can these schools like Iowa, Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, is it up to the president? Or can these schools say, you know, we'll play football, we'll play these three teams in our conference, and then we'll play three, you know, two from the SEC, maybe three from the ACC. We basically have a mixed schedule of four conferences and just play like three from each conference or something like that. Can they do that, or is it just up to the president and what they say goes?
It's probably more of a higher-level decision there from commissioners and then presidents and then athletic directors, because ultimately the athletic director is on the purview of the president anyway. And so, I mean, I think it would take a willful act to sort of lay down arms from a conference perspective to say, yeah, you can play outside our conference, even though we've said that we're not playing our conference. That's why I've always thought it was interesting that, you know, that maybe some of the Big Ten would move to the spring and some of them would play now. Like, who would they play? And how would we possibly try to figure out who's the best team in the country if you got, you know, only Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Nebraska, let's say, playing each other like double round robin style? I don't know. I don't even know how that would work in the current format. It feels like the way this is set up that it has to be a conference based decision the way this thing is going.
Right. And I'll say this and I'll take it off there.
Oh no.
Whatever. I would love to see like the Ohio State or whatever move to SEC and just win a conference championship with an SEC patch and just rub it in the Big Ten space and throw up a 2020 SEC banner in the stadium and stuff like that. I would love to see that.
Chris,
Big Ten.
Would you rather see Ohio State win the SEC or go 6-4 versus the SEC? Which would be better?
Probably go 6-4.
Right.
But at the same time, as long as Alabama ain't throwing up another trophy, then I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Love it. That's it, Chris.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the phone call. All right. You know what? I thought he made some really good points there. Anything to add? I mean, I feel like splitting the Big Ten and letting some play in the fall, some in the spring sounds like a nice compromise if they want to do that. But I'm not sure that's feasible given how everybody else has now set up conference-only schedules.
You know, Kwok, I'm at the point where I feel like I'm giving out participation trophies because no idea is bad now. Whatever you think can make football happen, here's a trophy, here's a trophy, here's a trophy. Because we're living in the upside down. So who's to say that that's a bad idea, Kwok? Who's to say?
Not me. I'm not casting stones. Let's go to Jamie, who's up with us next. 654 Roars the number. What's up, Jamie?
How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
I got a question for you, a couple questions about this Big Ten. I don't think that, first of all, that they should ever be considered for a playoff berth again. Okay, now, you say, well, gosh, that's horrible. But now, let me say this. They came out and they said, well, we can't play because we found out of a heart condition that could happen 20 years down the road from the coronavirus. They knew all of that before they released their schedule. They went through and released their schedule, made the rest of college football think, yeah, we're in. Then they decided, we don't want to play. We're through. We're leaving. You know, we're done. But my next question is, it says not just football, but fall sports. So how does that affect the ACC Big Ten Challenge?
For basketball, I would think if we have college basketball this year to any, you know, meaningful extent, I would think that the vast majority, if not all, of the schedule is going to be conference only, a lot like football. So I think that just goes on pause for a year, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, my goodness. I mean, here's the thing. We've got just over a month before we kick off. And I don't know if y'all have noticed, but the report that I'm looking at shows that for the past 3 days, the numbers have went down in South Carolina. So I'm frustrated, and I'm saying that what's it going to take for us to get back to some sort of normalcy? I mean, you know, at some point we're going to have to live with this stuff or have a vaccine or something. I mean, you know, we can't keep living our life in fear.
I agree with that, Jamie, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I looked at some stats this morning. And if I'm looking at the data right, sometimes you look at charts, you get cross-eyed. So I'm gonna hedge on that. I think I'm right in saying that 44 of the 50 states, in terms of the 7-day rolling average, saw a decrease last week, like between last Monday and today. So you got 7-day rolling average decreases in 44 of 50 states. Now, it's also true that somebody can look at that and say, well, the numbers are still too high. My issue, as we've stated many times on this show, is that no one has ever identified this much is too high, this much is acceptable, this much is amazing. We have no idea. It is a moving target all the time for whatever we feel like in the moment or whatever causes us the least amount of consternation. We can just say this is fine now, but then a week later, you go, okay, well, test came down. Nope, they got to come down more. It's like the annoying workouts you do with your strength conditioning coach, Kelly, where they're like, all right, two more. Here we go. You got this. And then you do the two
like,
more,
you
and they're
told
like, all right,
me
two
10.
More. Two
oh,
more.
Clock,
all right,
that's
go.
The
you
worst thing more. In the world.
Don't you feel like every time yes. somebody's like, all right, we're getting this thing under control. Deaths are way down. Hospitalizations way down. Tests are going up or staying the same, whatever. Our percent positives going down. Look, we're moving in the right direction. And somebody looks at you and they're like, yeah, well, it's not good enough. But they'll never say what good enough is. No one has ever said this. At this point, I would say this is good enough. At this amount of testing, we would say this is good enough. And I'll go back to what I said the first segment. From the president of the United States on down to peons like me and you, no one, not a single disease expert, infectious disease expert, not a single epidemiologist, not a single politician, not a single leader, not a single person in any meaningful spot to make any decision has said, this is what constitutes acceptable risk that we've got to move forward. And anything past this, we can't accept the risk. We have never been told what that is. And I maintain my frustration with that.
I agree, 1,000%. And I can relate to being told you have 10, I don't know if I can call these that anymore, 10 certain sprints, and you have
certain
to run
sprints.
Two more. 10 specific sprints. You know what?
I love how
I'll just
your
reference,
cadence
I'll reference,
also.
I'll reference a certain sprint that still gives me chills to this day. If you tell me I have 5 6-4-6s, and then I have to do another one, I'm going to do it, but I'm probably going to cry before I have to do it. So that's
you put,
that being said.
You put inflection on those on certain sprints
certain
in a
sprints,
weird way.
Yeah, that was
that
weird.
Matched exactly the word you didn't say.
I don't know. Are they still called that?
I don't know what
you
they're called.
You probably can't do that.
They're
in
not called certain sprints.
You cannot
you, thought,
you cannot
yeah.
call those sprints that in 2020.
You can't
that's
say
something
that
I know for certain. Quok.
That's right.
I may
that's
know
right.
nothing, but I know that.
Let's take one more phone call before the break. Let's go to Lincoln, who's been patiently waiting. 654 Roars the number. We'll get to more phone calls in the next segment. What's up, Lincoln?
Hey, Quok, how are you?
Doing good, man. Hope you're doing well.
So I just had an NBA question for you.
Okay.
Who do you think wins Rookie of the Year? Obviously, it's down to Zion and Ja. Who do you think wins?
I think it's going to be Ja, only because Zion has really petered out here. Like, he's been rested, and he's played 4 minutes at a time, and he's just had – it feels like every time he gets going, there's some sort of injury or something that puts a kibosh on it. My money's on Ja. Kelly, what do you think's going to happen?
I think Ja is deserving. I think Ja,
yes,
with
I,
what
I
he's
too.
Now, I think it will depend, you know, if Memphis ends up getting the eight spot, that would help Ja, but I think Ja Morant has had less surrounding him, and he's been consistent, and he's put in the work and then the amount of games, and his numbers are exceptional. So I think Ja Morant is deserving.
I agree. And now my second question is, with the whole Zion and Duke thing, do you think that hurt Zion's case for Rookie of the Year?
I don't think so. I think if anything, it hurt people who thought that Zion going to it hurt everyone who thought Zion going to Duke was weird, because we sort of knew that there was some hanky panky that went on there, and now we kind of think that there was. I don't really think that has any effect on guys in the pros. Like, I don't think the questions about Cam Newton at Auburn had any effect once he got to the Panthers. So I don't think there's a carryover in that way from college to pro.
Okay, I appreciate it, Paul.
All right, thanks very much, Lincoln. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I just don't think so. Like, O.J. Mayo had major questions at USC. I don't think that really played into the narrative about him at Memphis, like with the Grizzlies.
I very much doubt that. I mean, Zion's barely played any games. That's the reason.
I also
give
think
it to someone who's played virtually every game of the season and has elevated the team more than anyone thought he could.
Right, that's right.
That's Ja Morant.
I feel like, too, particularly in the case of Cam, he was so likable, particularly early in his career. Zion is very likable.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're gonna look past that stuff. That has nothing to do with it. Look at how he is. He just loves people. He's not trying to rock the boat anywhere. He's not trying to cheat. Does this guy look like, look at that smile. He doesn't look like a cheater. So I kind of feel like that has
Ja Morant
something to do as
should
well.
Be the Rookie of the Year.
Agreed. I kind of think it should be unanimous.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who else deserves a vote.
Kendrick Nunn is in there, too, out of nowhere.
Sorry, Kendrick Nunn, but that made me laugh really hard. All right, Clark, X-Tiger, hang on. We're going to come to both of you guys. In fact, it's going to be X-Tiger and then Clark when we return from Out of Bounds. Hour 2 continues in just a moment.
Let's face it. Sometimes local is just better. Locally grown, locally sourced, shop local, eat local. But what about local expertise? At Allstate, Friar Dixon is just that, a local. So contact Clemson Allstate agency Friar Dixon today so he can help you with protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate, are you in good hands? Friar Dixon Allstate, Patrick Square, above Rick Irwin's, 133 Thomas Green Boulevard, Suite 206A. Call 643-2895. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One. Trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Foundation problems start small, but will only get bigger and more expensive. Candy Foundation Specialist is the trusted expert for sinking foundations and settling concrete. Foundation problems don't get better over time.
They get better when you call my dad.
Call the local experts for a free estimate. Call Canty Foundation Specialist at 864-432-5050 and ask about transferable warranties and available financing. That's 864-432-5050 or online at cantyconfixit.com.
If you have been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, it's time to call Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, to get your case evaluated. Your consultation and the phone call are completely free. You've been through enough. It's important to take action as soon as possible to get the full compensation that you deserve so you can focus on recovery. Call today, 864-654-3680. That's 864-654-3680 to schedule your free consultation today.
If you want a Honda, Acura, Lexus, or Toyota, there's only one place to get your car, SUV, or truck serviced. That's First Class HALT. HALT stands for Honda, Acura, Lexus, and Toyota. That's all they do, and they do it well. and they back it up with some of the best warranties in the upstate. Be sure to check them out online. The latest specials can be found at firstclasshalt.com. That's firstclasshalt.com. Or visit them in Greenville at 1304 Roper Mountain Road or in Anderson at 4135 Clemson Boulevard. That's First Class Halt.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Hi, Don Munson for my friends at Engineered Sleep, 627 Congre Road in Greenville. The wife and I have been in our custom-built Engineered Sleep mattress for several months now, and our sleep has never been better. It's been so good, we had them build a mattress for our special needs daughter, and now she sleeps like a rock. Your best sleep is out there at Engineered Sleep, a custom mattress built for you at half the cost. Engineered Sleep, 627 Congre Road, or check them out online at engineeredsleep.com. That's engineeredsleep.com.
The flagship station for Clemson basketball. You're listening to The Roar.
I'm the kind of brother who've been doing it my way, getting my way for years in my career. And every lover, y'all, in and out my life, I hear love and left in tears without a care. Until I met this girl who turned the tables around.
Hour two of the program brought to you in part by our friends at IQ Capital Strategy. You know, the market, I watch the market now, particularly after talking to Brian and seeing his process. Brian Massey, the CEO of IQ Capital Strategy. I watch the market now. You know, it's dipped a little bit in the last couple days before the weekend. It's dipping again today. A lot of the gambling stocks that I'm just sort of, you know, just monitoring just for kicks and giggles drop today with the feeling that maybe the college football season is in peril when there was great optimism earlier, and so the stocks were tanking. And here's the deal. If you're in those, you're probably not with Brian. But let's say you were. You probably are going to miss some of that quote-unquote market correction. You're probably going to not take on all of that loss because Brian's got a process that maximizes your gains and minimizes your losses when he manages your portfolio. You can go with a stock portfolio if you've got more to invest, a sector rotation portfolio, which is really sort of it's a lower reward, but it's also a lower risk type deal for people like me who, you know, don't have large portfolios to invest. Takes about a half hour to sit down with Brian. You should do it. I can promise you it'll change your life. 735 North Townsville Street in Seneca. You'll want to invest with him when you go by his office or call him 848-CAPITAL. That's 848-227-4825. Let's go back to the Northland Communication phone lines. X-Tiger is up with us first here in this segment. What's up, X-Tiger?
Well, everything was good until the world imploded over the weekend.
That's a great way of putting it. It really is.
Oh, this is crazy. This is a mess. And I don't usually call into shows. In fact, this is the first time I've called into your show, but I've listened to it many times. I really like your show a lot.
Thank you.
You have some great insights, and you guys do a fantastic job. But I just wonder, and this may have been discussed, I don't know, but this whole thing about canceling these seasons, the MAC, you know, if you think that the MAC canceled their season because of the coronavirus, you're missing the big picture, in my opinion. It's because of the money. It's all about the money. They lost all their out-of-conference games. They're you know, playing the Big Ten and all that. And when this came about, it just seems like that they said, okay, we're done. We can't afford to play football this year. I just wonder how much that's playing into what the Big Ten is doing. Is it about the money?
I really believe, because it didn't make any sense, right? I mean, Kelly and I have talked about that. It didn't make a lot of sense where over the weekend the MAC cancels their season the commissioner says it's not about money, but then you start looking at the money that they've lost. It's somewhere between $7 and $8 million in bye games last year that they're losing from Power Five opponents. They'd already dropped them. They're not going to make that up. They've also they would have to pay for increased testing. They probably, you know, athletic departments probably want to do that. We've seen multiple schools in the MAC drop sports during this period, so we know that finance is the issue. But then the MAC says, you know, finance isn't the issue. This is about health and wellness, and I would agree with you that the health and wellness piece might very well be about the inability to test because they don't have money. So I believe the Big Ten used the MAC as leverage to try to say the sky's falling. If we don't move to the spring, it's all doomed. We're going to move to the spring, and then we're going to see a domino effect of other leagues move to the spring, and everybody's just going to be on the same page. It's going to be great. And trying to speak it into existence, even though those two things don't seem to coincide. They don't seem like two things that are interrelated.
Well, they don't. In the uncertainty of what will happen in the spring, we could easily be in the same boat in the spring and the money's still not there for the MAC. What if we go to the spring and we decide we're going to just play the conference schedules like we're talking about now? Where does that leave the MAC? And I will make the argument, too, that the Big Ten and the SEC are making a big mistake by not playing the plus one game and leaving the small conferences out, because it gives a voice to those that want to move to the spring or move or cancel the season. You're leaving those teams out that need the money, and the MAC needs the money. So you basically pigeonhole them, put them in a corner where they had to make the decision to cancel the season because of the money. That's my take on that's. You follow where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do, and it makes a lot of sense. That's one of the reasons why I feel like the Big Ten's initial decision, which you could trace all of this back to the Big Ten's initial decision, which makes it even more rich, if my theory is correct, that the Big Ten now wants everybody else to join them when they didn't seem that interested in playing team ball, when they went on their own, when everybody else was trying to figure out how to salvage all their non-conference games, the Big Ten was like, no, we don't care. We're just going to play each other. Screw you guys. And the main... the main recipient of bad news in that announcement was the MAC, who was playing the Big Ten and trying to fill their budgets with Big Ten money coming from those bye games. So I totally get it that put the MAC in an impossible situation, and it is interesting that the Big Ten is now trying to use the MAC's demise as a way to bring about its own preferred ends.
Exactly, and I got one more last take, and I'll take it off the air. Do you see this? As far as the Power Five conferences, do you see this as a power struggle between the SEC and the Big Ten? Because it almost feels that way with the Big Ten saying, okay, move to spring, cancel. The SEC not. Who's going to go with who? You know, like you said, the Pac-12's irrelevant. It's an SEC, ACC, maybe Big 12 type of deal. And who's going to pull the ACC and the Pac in the Big 12 in with them to make the argument? And I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks very much, X-Tiger. We appreciate it. I agree about the power struggle. Here's the analogy I would use, and this is going to be, for political junkies, this is going to make a lot of sense. For people who don't follow the Supreme Court like I do, and it might not, every time the Supreme Court convenes, Kelly Graham, like, I don't know if you know this, but there's a great amount of partisanship where if certain people who are decided partisans, there's a few on the left and a few on the right, if they cross over, it's big news. Or it's a terrible suit and it's like 9-0 because it was such a terrible case to begin with. It was so obvious. But there are also times where you have to wait on the swing vote. And like in my life, Justice Kennedy has been a swing vote. Sandra Day O'Connor has been a swing vote. Now it feels like John Roberts might be a swing vote in the court. You're trying to figure out what the swing vote is going to do. What the justice who has that swing vote, who can up or down a case, is going to do. I've been trying to figure out who the swing vote is.
That's an interesting way to put it, Kwok.
Because it feels like Big Ten, Pac-12 are together on this a little bit. And it kind of feels like SEC, Big 12 might be together on this to some degree. I think the ACC is more in line with the SEC, but I'm going to say it like this. I think the difference between the Big 12 and the ACC is the feeling of superiority academically among some of the ACC's prestigious universities might match the feeling in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I'm not sure that feeling of academic superiority exists to that degree in the Big 12. I might be wrong, particularly related to athletics. And I'm thinking about Duke, Syracuse, Boston College.
Well, there aren't
even Miami.
Some of the differences, there aren't that many private schools in the Big 12. There's Baylor.
Right.
I believe TCU. That's it, right?
I could see the ACC, some of the presidents in the ACC, thinking along the lines of presidents in conferences like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten.
Sure.
To see themselves as more superior academically. On the other hand, athletically, the ACC would align more with the SEC and the Big 12 with matters relating to college football.
So, yeah, and this is a really good point. And what you're saying is, you know, we make fun of how the ACC spans from Miami to Boston College, and you've got Notre Dame in there now for football. You've got Louisville, which is nowhere near the Atlantic coast. But that's in some ways a benefit because you've got schools and leaders from very different parts of the country. I mean, you've got the Miami area that's almost, Florida in general is almost its own entity, right? You've got the Deep South with Clemson and Georgia Tech and the North Carolina schools. But you have the Research Triangle, which is a very, you know, metropolitan area, if you will. You've got the Midwest with Louisville and Notre Dame. You have the East Coast with Boston and schools like in the Virginias. So you have representation from a lot of different regions in one conference. And that's not really true with every other conference is more cohesive in terms of the culture of the regions in which their schools are.
Let's go back to the Northern Communication phone lines. Let's go to Clark as we wrap up this hour of the program. We got Stockwatch. We got Tim Bray coming in hour three as well. Plus more of your phone calls as we continue to react to the forever shifting sands of college football. Clark is up with us next. What's up, Clark?
How's it going, man?
Going good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. And I just want to talk about if this season gets moved to the spring, how does that change players' ideals with the draft? You know, Trevor would be getting ready for that draft after the national championship, you know, mid-January. They're playing then. What does that change? Same thing for Trevor.
I try not to be alarmist like this. It's hard for me to see anybody who thinks they're a top three-round draft pick playing in the spring. And anybody who really think, and that includes anybody who thinks. So you're talking about maybe 200 or 300 people who all it takes is one person saying, you know, you're a top 100 pick. And I don't know why you would play in the spring. So that would significantly dilute the college football population. And I really think that's what Trevor Lawrence understands. That's why Trevor Lawrence is trying to save this thing in the fall, because he knows in the spring, as crazy as it might be to some people that he's even suiting it up in the fall, it would be absolute career suicide if he tried to suit up in the spring and then maybe be the franchise quarterback immediately in September for somebody else in the NFL. It just doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
And so I kind of feel like that's why he's becoming more outspoken, other than, you know, it feels like the right thing to do to let your voice be heard and to sort of galvanize popular sentiment among your peers. It also, it's a self-serving thing for him, too, because he knows if the season's not played in the fall, there's really no reason for him to play in the spring.
Yeah, I agree. And that leadership that he's showing over Twitter, you know, using that voice that he has, because, you know, Dabo can only say so much. But he's using his voice, and I think that leadership's only boosting his draft stock right now.
Totally agree. Clark, good stuff. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. Kelly, I kind of feel that, like, Trevor Lawrence is saying great stuff that I think a lot of our audience would probably agree with right now. I don't want to act like there is not a self-serving part of this for him, that the reason he's so adamant about we want to play in the fall is because he knows there's just no logical reason for him to play in the spring.
Right, but he also doesn't need a college football season to be drafted where he hopes or thinks he should be drafted.
That is also true.
If we end right now, he's going number one.
And
so,
you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say this quickly. If we do play, he might be more likely to drop out of the number one spot.
Yes. So I think this is, and you know, some people might be more cynical about Clemson and Trevor than us. But because we've heard Coach Sweeney talk about Trevor, we've spoken to Trevor. Like, I truly believe this guy is sincere. I really do. I think he wants to play football. I think he wants to play with his teammates. I think he wants to win a national championship and not end his college career with a loss to LSU. I think he wants to play. I don't think it's really about the I don't think it's a self-serving thing for him right now, because the reality is if we play in the spring, he's not playing. Point blank, he's not. He's engaged. I think he's looking ahead to the next phase of his life. That's my personal opinion. I don't have any sources on that, but like you said, Kwok, it would be kind of crazy to play in the spring, not just risking injury and all that stuff, but to play two full seasons. When people say that one of the biggest adjustments in the sports world is going from college football to the NFL, and you're going to have Trevor play a full college season where he could spend time resting, preparing for the combine, and then just go, I guess, do the combine in the middle of the season or just go straight to the draft, that none of that really makes sense. So Trevor playing in the spring to me seems like a real long shot.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This hour of the program is brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. Clean your carpets, people. Clean your carpets. Vacuuming is great. I vacuum often. Vacuuming does not get up all the dirt and the grime that gets stuck in your carpets. And here's a hint for you. Neither do a lot of the traditional carpet cleaners that use the detergents and the soaps and the things that really that you trust to get that stuff up. No, all it does is it attracts the stuff back, and so you have to call them again very soon. Zero Res, get your carpet cleaner longer. They've got great deals if you mention the station. Do that when you go online, zeroresgreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. Hour two.